Welcome everybody back to the Friar Talk YouTube channel and podcast. Today we're going to be doing a live stream, going to be talking about the Jake Arrieta signing, and I'll let you jump right into it, Chase. What were your initial thoughts when you saw that Jake Arrieta was about to be signed and then eventually was signed by the San Diego Padres?
It's not the most exciting move. I mean, there's better people out there, I think, that you can either promote or, you know, sign for. Like, Aaron Sanchez is still out there. So, you know, and you've seen kind of Jake Arrieta's season with the Cubs. He's fallen off a long way from what he used to be, you know, from his 2016 season. It's just been downhill from there. Even when he was on the Phillies, it was rough. You know, he has nearly a 7 ERA, and you sign him to kind of continue being the same pitcher that Weinrathers has in his past five outings, and you're just like, yeah, you know what? I think we had a couple of guys in the minor leagues that might provide us a better opportunity to win and eat some innings and then also get MLB experience. There's just more upsides to promoting someone than there is to just keeping, you know, Jake Arrieta in the rotation. I mean, hopefully he goes out there and balls out today and proves us wrong, but just the way he's been all season, it's just kind of like, yeah, I get the signing, but there was definitely someone better to sign in an emergency situation.
Yeah, I have the same mindset. I think the first thing that came to my mind when it initially happened was, like, Aaron Sanchez is available. He was obviously a better option, and I definitely thought that the Padres would be in on – I honestly thought they would be in on both of those guys. Obviously, Arrieta, we got. Aaron Sanchez, haven't. The Dodgers are still looking for starting pitching, I'm assuming, so it looks like they might, you know, make a move here soon. I believe they already made a move, but who knows. But now I'm kind of thinking, like, well, what do we really have to lose? Weathers got rocked. We had a bullpen day yesterday. Matt Strom threw, like, 40 or 50 pitches in two innings, had a rough bullpen day. Rockies put up 7 runs on us. So I guess it's like, how much worse could it get? But then you realize who's on the mound today, and you realize the guy has a 6.88 ERA and allowed, I believe it was like 10 runs, or he did not have a good start at Coors Field when he started in Coors Field. It was very discouraging. And so you come into this outing and you see that his last start there was discouraging, and now you're thinking you're going to get a discouraging outing too in a time where the Padres are in need of a win heavily. Like, you remember back in the May, June area when we had a really bad road stint against, I believe it ended against the Mets. And then we came home and we pulled off like 8 in a row, lost one, won another. So 9 of 10. And that's exactly what this team needs. So in order for that to happen, it's got to start today. It's got to start with a W so we can get back home and be able to win a couple games.
Yeah, I'm kind of where you guys are at as well. Probably the most discouraging time of the season, I would say. Isaac, like you brought up there, you know, there has been some struggles throughout this year, but it definitely, Arrieta doesn't seem like the guy to, like, get it going. That was kind of my thought about this. In a second here, I will try to get two baseball savant things up. Let's see if this works. But I want to show you guys kind of, you know, how this, here we go. So these are two. Can you guys see them?
Yeah.
So just looking at these baseball spot numbers, Chase, Isaac, who would you guys rather have?
For obviously, I mean, the guy on the right. Or not the guy. Yeah, the guy on the right. It's not as much blue. Usually blue is a really bad thing.
Yeah, basically the guy with more red.
Yeah, so – I just wanted to see these.
The left is looking like a little like Ryan Weathers, but I know it's not Ryan Weathers.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got Arrieta on the left. You got Sanchez on the right. And this doesn't tell the whole story, you know. But you also look at the two guys' ERAs, and Arrieta's is twice as high as Aaron Sanchez. And Aaron Sanchez is actually a mid-3 guy. And let's see if I can get this back up. All right, I'll stop sharing. Sorry about that. That kind of got hectic. But I just wanted to show that display because it seems pretty crazy, right? That you guys, that they go after the guy in Jake Arrieta. I'm just confused by the deal. I think the reasoning behind it is that they want a guy. Okay, this is a great something great here. from Nick. I actually hope Jake Arrieta shuts up every Padre fan. He's doing something big. I hope that's the case. I think we all really hope that's the case. I just feel like there was a guy that had, you know, put up much better numbers, and I feel like that was kind of why – that's why I'm concerned. But I hope that is the case. I think that the plan for what they want to do with Arrieta is they're basically signing him now. I think they're going to give him 1 to 2 starts depending on how they go. If, you know, if he's really bad, they're probably going to release him. If he's really good, they're going to keep him on the staff. But I think that they're kind of waiting to call up either Mackenzie Gore or was Adrian Martinez. I think those are the two guys kind of waiting. If you guys didn't know, Martinez got a start in AAA yesterday, and he got rocked. However, I still think there's a very good chance that he will get called up in September. And Mackenzie Gore, if he gets a start or two in the minors and he looks good, and if these mechanics are fixed, like apparently they are, then I think we'll see him as well. Do you think that's kind of the mindset with this move, is that you're just kind of basically signing a guy to eat up innings? Because that's what it feels like, right, Chase?
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? Maybe he makes – he's there until September, until we can call up the extended roster and get more starts from our minor league guys without having to, I guess, accumulate service time is what Preller's goal seems to be. I mean, I understand it, but I'd rather have a guy with more upside in the rotation right now and getting MLB experience for next year, because – 2022 seems to be, you know, the year of the promised land, but yeah, I mean, September is always good, but I'd much rather them get more experience than less. So that's why I always am advocating for either Adrian Martinez or Mackenzie Gore, because the sooner you get them called up, the more experience they get, and I think that's crucial for next year.
I think for me, Adrian Martinez is obviously the most likely option to be brought up from the minors. Chase said something in our chat yesterday. He had a rough outing in AAA, but first outing, El Paso can be it's a pretty crappy park to pitch in, obviously, as Mackenzie Gore knows, and as Adrian Martinez saw yesterday. It's people say that hitting stats are fake there. Very weird. But as far as that goes, I don't know if we'll see Gore. I honestly don't think we will until maybe late September, mid-September, only because he hasn't had any pitching action in a long time. And, you know, he's still really young. And, I mean, I guess you could say, like, the fact that he had some game action before COVID and he's had action before and he has all this kinds of upside, you can definitely say, like, yeah, there's a chance he comes up this year and he has a couple outings. But I don't know how likely that is right now. And people are saying, like, is Mackenzie Gore really so bad that we have to go get Jake Arrieta? I definitely think you can argue that maybe it's not that he's that bad, but it's that the Padres aren't ready to bring him up and aren't ready to, and he's probably not ready either, because you see with Ryan Weathers, they bring him up. He struggles heavily now after coming out there, having a couple good outings in his, you know, first, what, four outings before he got hurt, really. And now he's struggling heavily. That's just the fate of a young pitcher. You're going to struggle like that. And obviously Mackenzie Gore's mental gets rattled a little bit, struggling in El Paso, and then has all these mechanical issues and all this kinds of stuff. So I don't know what we'll see out of Mackenzie Gore. Martinez is more likely. I saw someone say thoughts on Aaron Sanchez. We brought him up earlier. We all wanted him. But all we can do now is ride the ship, ride with Jake Arrieta, I guess. And I mean, he needs to show up today, because this Padres team needs a win to get them going.
Yeah, I mean, if Arrieta can go 6 innings, and I think he's going to allow a few runs, I think that's inevitable. But if he can go a few innings, you know, help the bullpen not have to, you know, pitch, what is it, either 9 innings or it feels like 5-6 innings every day, because that's what it's felt like for a while now. And they've been getting a little bit rocked lately. And I think, I mean, that's a product of an overworked bullpen, in my opinion. So I think that's, you know, they haven't been, but the other problem is the Padres haven't been scoring very much, especially against other team starters. That's the other big issue that's been happening. I don't know if we're going to do it, but I do want to have an episode somewhat soon about kind of maybe some reasons why their lineup hasn't been able to generate runs. Because if you look at a lot of the guys, especially at the top of the lineup, guys are, they're raking, but the Padres aren't producing runs. And then that's the biggest issue. And I want to talk about that in a full segment, but that's something that I'm definitely concerned about. I mean, yesterday you see them, they have the seventh inning and there's no offense besides that. The day before, you know, they get the big boost because Grisham hits a three-run shot with two outs in the top of the ninth. But besides that, there wasn't much there. You know, there's not much offense there. So it's a tough spot to be in right now. Before the series started, Chase, basically, you said in the chat, I think there's a good chance we get swept. Now, I don't think that means that the Padres season's over. They're going to get guys back. We've talked about that. Our last episode was about, you know, getting Chris Paddock and getting Yu Darvish back. We're going to get those guys back. That's two more starters. But right now, they are in a really tough spot, especially this series, because they don't have Blake Snell or Musgrove pitching this series. And that's a big loss for them. So you have four starters. It's going to look, I think, a lot better. Are they in a tough spot? Absolutely. We got to give a round of applause to the Cubs because it looks like they're going to take two out of three against the Reds. And if this is a time when the Padres need help in the standing, and this is the biggest time of the year where that's been the case. But I mean, it's not a great spot to be in. I do think bringing Tatis back, he's just going to win you a few games on his own. I mean, we saw that in his first game back. But what are your kind of thoughts moving forward, guys? And then also, anyone in the chat, please start sending in your guys' questions as well. We'll start answering those. But what are your kind of guys, your thoughts moving forward? I'll start with you, Chase, because me and Isaac, we basically went over all this stuff in the recap. But what are your thoughts, Chase?
I think the lineup's going to be a lot better in, you know, the more recent games since Tatis is back. You know, it kind of takes a minute for, like, when a guy comes off IL for the team to really get pumped up again. And, you know, Tatis provided that spark. You know, he's been hitting home runs. He gets on base. He's been playing pretty good right field from what I've seen. You know, so once, you know, the lineup finally starts clean again, I'd give it, like, another three or four games, and then we might see the offense like it usually is. But other than that, the pitchers really do need to step up. Musgrove and Snell have been stepping up more as of late, but we've seen Snell still be really inconsistent and really kind of wild on the mound. Musgrove's last outing was pretty bad, but outside of that, he's kind of taken over as the ace when Darvish went down with injury, or when Darvish kind of was having his, you know, decline, as we can say, partially due to injury, partially due to the substance ban. But yeah, we also just need guys to eat innings, because we've seen it. The bullpen is taxed. These bullpen games do not help. And you just keep throwing these guys out there more and more and more. The more the league sees them, the more hittable they become. And yeah, the less times we can throw out a bullpen guy, I think it saves us, especially because Strom just got hurt, if I remember right, again. So there's another lefty out in the bullpen. So, you know, Weathers is struggling, you got to throw him out there into the bullpen now, and now you have another starter that's missing. So then you're down to Arrieta, Musgrove, and Snell as your only healthy starters, which isn't a recipe for winning.
Yeah, I want to talk about the lineup because something's really bugging me. When we got Adam Frazier, everyone was super excited. I was excited. We were all excited because the guy was getting on base almost, what, 40% of the time. And yesterday, Jace Tingler comes out and says that he won. And you guys probably saw my tweet about this. Tingler probably comes out and he says, I put Tatis second because I want to put someone in front of him to give him scoring opportunities, to give him RBI opportunities. He puts Adam Frazier at the leadoff spot. There's a guy that we really like who has a 450 on base percentage in the last 15 games. And I think it's over like a 350 on base percentage in the last 30. Yeah, around a 350 on base percentage in the last 30. That's batting eighth. Meanwhile, Adam Frazier in the past seven games has a 179 on base percentage. And in the last 15, 302. In the last 30, 262. Come on.
I've already said this before, Isaac. I think that putting Adam Frazier at one is really weird. I like him at three or five.
It just doesn't make sense.
He's a guy that it's okay. Sorry about the noise. One of you guys can talk.
I don't like. I want him at eight or seven. And when the DH comes,
it's like Tingler takes like a nine-sided die, and he's like, "All right, Adam Frazier, let's see you're gonna play today. All right, you're in the one spot. Okay, let's see, Tommy Pham. all right, you just move down to eighth because the dice said so. It, like, yeah. There's no rhyme or reason behind his lineups. It's other than, like, outside of, okay, Tatis is going to hit in 1-4 somewhere in there. Machado's going to be the same thing. Cronenworth has been bouncing around like crazy. Grisham doesn't have a consistent spot in the lineup. I think Hosmer is probably, like, the only one that's like, ah, I haven't moved from my spot. This is my spot. Myers has moved around a lot. Pham has moved around a lot. I mean, it's just no consistency in the lineup. And when you just keep moving guys around, it's like, okay, you need to figure out, wow, this guy's getting on base a lot. And he hits really well in this one spot. Let's keep him there. Move Frazier down to, you know, like you said, 5. He, you know, has the most hits in the league for a reason. So if since he has the most hits in the league, put him in a position where you can hit someone in, not just get on base. You have Tatis either hitting in front or behind him. Same thing with Machado. You probably solidify him at 3 or 4. And then you can figure out 6 through 8 on a later date on who you're going to start that day.
Well, the thing is, for me, the lineup shouldn't have ever really changed. Grisham should be leading off against righties, and Pham should be leading off against lefties. It's very simple. Then you have either one of those guys leading off. You got Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado. There's your top four. And that was winning ball games for a while. And that top four is nasty. And then you can go Hosmer 5. If Myers starts, Myers 6. If not, Pham or Grisham bat 6, Nola bat 7. I don't like Frazier anywhere in the top or the middle of the lineup, guys. Like, that's my thing. Because if you look at his slash line ever since he joined the Padres, it's bad. Like, the dude's hitting a lot of grounders. And I guess the thing is, like, it does maximize an opportunity for the team to get double play balls because of how many grounders he's hit into. But at the same time, he's not hitting for much power. He's not providing power opportunities. It's like, it's very frustrating to see because, like, he came in with a 300 batting average, and he just hasn't – you're looking from top to bottom at this lineup, he's not providing what we thought he would.
What do you guys think about this one? Pham, Crone, Nando. I would – the only thing I would do is I would flip Nando and Cronenworth, but if you have Pham leading off, I think this is a pretty solid lineup. That's what I would probably rock with. I like Grisham at 5. Also – if Nola's catching, Nola can also hit 5. Nola has been amazing. I think that the three guys that should hit 5, and this, I think this is one of the reasons that they've been struggling a lot. It should be Grisham, Hosmer, or Nola, pretty much exclusively at 5. Or you could put Cronenworth there if Frazier's doing well and you move him to 3. But right now he's slumping, so I think you're right on that. You know, if you play him down in the lineup, and that's not like a, that's not to like have a huge knock to Frazier, but if you're struggling, this lineup's deep enough where there's other guys that can come in and hit in those spots. So I don't know. I agree with you on that. I do like that lineup. Hog just sent in the group chat, Reds down 6-1 in the 7th. Can we please win a baseball game? I'm feeling the same way. let's see. Quan had a lineup. Let's see this one. What do you guys think about this one?
Pham, Grish, Tatis, Crone. I would still have Tatis at 2nd. Or I guess not leading off. But I would still have Tatis in 2nd. But actually, I like that lineup a lot. You look at the numbers, though. Tatis has really good stats, either in the leadoff or the second spot. So, but other than that, I like it. I'd probably have Nola ahead of Frazier. I probably have, just based off right now, I probably have Hosmer over Frazier, too. The only guy that, like, if he starts, the only guy I wouldn't have over Frazier right now is Caratini. That's it.
I would switch Tatis and Cronenworth and then Nola and Frazier. I'd probably move Frazier to the end and move Nola and Hosmer up 1. I like Nola in the 5th spot when he was just getting hits consistently, even with people on base. You know, he'd hit the gappers or hit a single to bring a guy in on 2nd. And I think that's the way you maximize it. I like Tatis in the cleanup spot and then Machado hitting 5. It just allows them to get more people on in front of them to possibly hit them in.
This is another reason right here why I don't like Frazier in the leadoff spot. If you're trying to put somebody in scoring position and you're trying to steal a base, Frazier only has 4 stolen bases, which is definitely one of the lowest on this team. And Grisham steals bases consistently. Like, he's really good at stealing, so is Pham. So it just doesn't make sense. If you're trying to put somebody in scoring position and trying to get them over there by stealing, it just – it doesn't make sense for the guy to be Frazier. It should be one of the other guys.
It is interesting that Pham's pretty good at taking backs because he's not very fast. He's not. He gets good jumps. He gets really good jumps.
He does.
And
he's
got caught a couple times, but they're pretty aggressive with both him and Grisham. I feel like him, Grisham, and those two guys and Tatis are the biggest base stealers on the team. And apparently Machado was early in the year. He was stealing a ton of bags. But yeah, they like I agree with you guys. I don't think that's Frazier's best spot. And like I said, if he's hitting really well and you put him hitting three, I like that a lot. But that's the thing. Like you said, Isaac, he's not right now. The only guy that you probably have below him is Caratini if he's starting. Because you're definitely hitting Nola ahead of him. Nola's been great. Let's see what else we got here. I wish they would commit to Grisham as leadoff. I do say I actually like Pham at the leadoff spot better. Because when Pham hits five, it's incredibly aggravating. I'm not trying to rip on Pham, but he gets on base and that is his best skill set. Where Grisham, if you have him in the five spot, he's had some really big time hits out of the five spot this year. Also, he's hit like over 300 in the five spot when he's played, and it hasn't been a ton, but he's hit really better. And Grisham does run better. That is a good point. But that would just be my thought. Also the other thing is Fernando's also taken balls in the gaps for doubles and home runs more than any other player. And Pham can get around from first on a good double in the gap. And Grisham can too, but I feel like that's a good person to have there. But yeah, I don't really get it. The lineup seems all over the place.
Yep, Frazier got caught stealing yesterday with Tatis at the plate.
Yeah. So, what other questions you guys got? Let's see. We have some talk about CJ Abrams, and he's not going to be here this year. But I'm really looking forward to when CJ Abrams is playing. Another thing. Remember when we all thought that CJ Abrams didn't have a position, and now Fernando's going out in right field.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely had a question the other day that was really nice.
Yeah.
Who would you want at second, Kim or Frazier? I mean, I'd want Frazier. Right. Right now, maybe, because Frazier's been slumping. But Frazier, I mean, Frazier's his throughout the whole season, throughout his career, he's been a much better than what Kim's been.
Yeah.
I think Kim's amazing, but I think Kim is a really good depth infield piece.
But at the same time, if we give Kim more at-bats and more opportunities, we might see his potential start to shine a little bit more. Because I think he was going a little bit of a hot stretch. You know, he took that high 96 pitch pretty far out of the park, and he was hitting some pretty clutch doubles and singles.
Yeah, so the lineup, basically the same as yesterday, unfortunately. I don't get it, obviously. We were talking about it right now. I don't get it. But this dude, Frazier, needs to step up because, you know, now's the time. And that's why I was saying, you know, this lineup needs sort of a shakeup, and there's no better way to shake it up than what was working earlier in the season. Like, there's no reason to go away from what was working. It's so dumb to go away from it. Now, when it comes down to Kim and Frazier, I think you can. I mean, you just got to go with the hot hand there. And Frazier, yeah, Frazier definitely does have better stats throughout his career than, you know, it's only Kim's first year, but obviously better stats. And I don't know what's going on with him right now. Obviously, change of scenery is tough for a lot of people. But I think, you know, you ride the hot hand. And I think Kim has been putting up some really good at bats defensively, Gold Glover, and Frazier hasn't been doing so, but we have to kind of leave him in the lineup for him to figure it out. I want to talk about this one right here. These guys' approach sucks. As of late, these guys' approach is horrendous. Marquez went into the seventh inning with around like 70 pitches. Meanwhile, Strom went into the second inning with like 40. I mean, you got to be able to work the count. You got to be able to get the starters out of the. You got to be able to get the starters out of the game early, because especially when the bullpen of the Rockies is one of the weakest in the league, you got to be able to work the count.
I think one of that also goes to our pitchers are very inconsistent, and you know, sometimes they struggle finding the strike zone. We've seen it with Snell. I was at the Diamondbacks game. I was looking at his pitch count. I was like, oh, in the second inning, I'm like, he can go six innings. And after the third inning, I'm like, he might not make it through five. He threw like 25 pitches in that third inning, at least 25. It was rough. And so, like, yeah, I mean, Marquez was probably pumping strikes. Like, he has done pretty well against the Padres this year. And, you know, you got to give him that. But at the same time, I'm sure our walk rates have gone so far down. Like, I'll check the box score, and we'll walk maybe four times in a game when we used to get, like, seven walks a game. And it's really tough to look at that and be like, yeah, you know what? It's just because the hitters are not hitting. No, they also have a really good pitch right now.
What about this one? How many innings do you think Arrieta goes? I feel like I think three, but I'm hoping five or six.
I'm going to go with four.
I'd be happy with four.
Is Connor Joe in the lineup today? Because I think that will determine. For some reason, he's been a Padres killer this series. All right, Connor Joe's leading off. I give three innings.
No, it's fair. He has been really good.
Have you guys seen the comparisons to the 1997 season from this year? I don't think it's at all like the 1997 season. I feel like this team's better than that team. The 1997 season, they won like 74, and they only had like 74 wins. And that team wasn't as talented as this one. But people are comparing it to the 97 season because this team's as very talented and can win can go to the World Series next year. And that 97 team ended up going to the World Series the very next year. But guys, in order for that to happen, I've brought it up before, if anyone's watched it, we got to have a Kevin Brown. We don't have one of those.
Yeah.
So how about we just call Mackenzie Gore? Then he becomes that guy that we all thought he
was. That'd be great.
That's the solution.
Yeah, that's either him or Adrian Martinez, one of the two. Just call him up, hope he balls out. If he balls out, he gives us all the momentum in the world.
Here's one right here. So 2021 expectations were like no other this offseason. I think that's the case.
Oh.
We both had them as a wild card team that probably gets knocked out. I think we had, I don't know, mine was the championship series. That's what I thought. That's what my initial thoughts were. Now, I will say, I know that right now they're in the wild card spot. I thought they would have a much better record at this point in the season. I thought this was like, you know, like a 580 team, and I thought they'd be in maybe 580, 590 and probably be in that top wild card spot. So I think that everyone kind of like had their expectations too high, but I also completely get the frustration throughout the fan base right now. Cause it does feel like even though they're in that wild card spot, it feels like it is. I mean, everyone knows it's not a guarantee at this point for sure, but it is, you know, it is a little bit, I don't know. I feel like it's like, I think we're all frustrated. Are you guys pretty frustrated, but like, it's not that much lower than you really thought?
Go for it, Chase.
I'm going to say this. I don't think there's been a hype around this team since, you know, Preller first came into the Padres organization at that 2015 season when he traded for a bunch of all-stars in the offseason, kind of depleted the system, and, you know, yeah, thus going for it, and it didn't work out. And then Preller was like, yeah, you know what, we finally built up the team how I wanted it to be. Now let's go out and get the aces so that we solidify our rotation. And it just kind of didn't work out again. And you're just kind of like, well, you look at this line of paper, this rotation is probably the best, if not second best rotation in baseball when all of them are completely healthy. And it just hasn't been that. So kind of going from the off season where you're like, dude, this team should win first place. If not, just barely lose out to the Dodgers and take that top wild card spot. And we are where we are right now is kind of disappointing because you look at the team and you're like, you guys should be playing a lot better than you guys have been. And I mean, you can contribute it to injuries and consistency with Tingler in his bullpen game, Larry Rothschild, the hitting coach, you can blame it on whoever. It's just from the expectations from the offseason to now, it's everybody, I guess, hoping too much on the Padres doing what they're going to do on paper instead of, you know, what they are doing now.
I had really high hopes coming into this season. I think everyone did. I think this might have been the most anticipated season maybe ever for the Padres. You look at, you know, rotation rankings coming into the season, we were consistently number one or two, along with the Dodgers being one or two as well. We were consistently being put up there, and you know, so obviously it's a letdown right now with how many guys are hurt. Yu Darvish hurt. Blake Snell hasn't been the guy. Joe Musgrove been somewhat inconsistent. Joe Musgrove being inconsistent. Chris Paddock inconsistent as well. And I think Joe Musgrove has been probably our most consistent pitcher. I'm not saying consistent like where, you know, he's been trash. It's more like when he does go out there and doesn't provide a, you know, a quality outing, it's just that one bad inning that really kills him. So obviously I do still think that we're a wild card team. It's just a matter of, you know, it kind of just sucks right now. It's kind of a dark time in the season, and I expect this team to bounce back because they have that type of energy, that caliber team. However, I did bring up that 97 season and it sucked. And, obviously I wasn't alive, but obviously to see, looking at the roster of that team should not have only had 74 wins, but they bounced back next year. Ken Caminiti won the MVP. Tony Gwynn did his thing. Kevin Brown was an ace. And that's kind of, like I said, we still need that ace. We're still searching for that kind of guy. I saw a comment earlier saying that he thinks that someone thinks probably is shifting towards 2022. I think after the trade deadline, it might have felt that way. And I kind of think it feels that way right now. But I don't think this team's out of it. I don't think they're thinking like that. Do I think they'll win a World Series this year? No. Do I think Prelia thinks they will? Probably not. But, all I wanted out of this year was some improvement from last year, and that would be to at least make the NLDS and win a game. So, you know, that's kind of all I want this year.
I think this is a very interesting question that all of us might have different opinions on. So let's see.
Yeah.
Wrong one. It's this one. Should the new CBA implement a salary? You like this? I like the idea of a salary floor more than, because then you have, you know, the least competitive teams in the league at least putting out a somewhat winnable roster and not just trying to save expenses. It's been pretty bad. You know, you see the Pirates, you see the Diamondbacks, you see all these teams that the Diamondbacks are winning like 32% of their games. And I think actually the Orioles are the only worst team. They're 38-80. The Diamondbacks are 39-8. That's a one win difference. You have teams like that, and the Diamondback Stadium, I'm gonna tell you, that was empty, even with the Padres there. One of the more exciting teams in baseball. It was pretty empty. And when you got, like, I guess it just hurts baseball to see all these teams performing that badly and just kind of not really caring about their teams. Because we were that team for a while. And putting a team out there and watching them lose every game is pretty pitiful.
Yeah. I like the salary cap just so teams like the Dodgers can break their own record every year of highest highest salary in the league.
That's a very fair point.
right? They break it every year. It's literally their own record that they break every single year.
They're like, wow, the luxury tax? Yeah. What's that?
Exactly.
I think it's $80 million more than any other team.
It's ridiculous.
I think that you probably want a floor and a cap. Like, doesn't every other league have that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least the NBA and the NFL do. I know that at the very least, because you have to spend a certain amount of money in the NBA. That's why you'll see random bench players get signed for a ton of money by bad organizations sometimes. That's literally part of the reason, because they have to sign a guy for at least enough. So you'll just see someone sign, you're like, why did this dude get a 1-year, $10 million contract? Well, because they couldn't get anyone else to sign. They couldn't pay a guy that should be making that much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a positive thing. Borna sent in the chat that he doesn't like the salary floor because the A's get 4,000 people to go to their games and they still win. I think that's the problem, though. That's part of the problem, is that they're only pulling 4,000 people and they're a playoff team every year. Like, it's, I don't know, like, it's just lack of excitement. Like, there is something to it. I definitely think that, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't seem like baseball is going in that direction. Should they? I think absolutely. They won't, because there's no way with all of the issues that, you know, the MLB and the Players Association have, that they're going to find a way to make it beneficial to both of them to work this out. That's what we've learned. I mean, they've been talking about so many rules for so long, and it takes like, it feels like 10 years to get any rule like implemented. So I don't think this is anything that will happen soon. Do you guys feel like that too?
They do whatever it takes to help the Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers.
The only other thing, like, if you can't implement a salary floor, then pay your minor leaguers more. Because, dude, they live in rough conditions. You hear all the minor league stories. Yeah, you know, there's three of us, four of us splitting a single one-bedroom apartment with one bathroom just to make it by, because they don't get really paid anything in the minor leagues outside their signing bonuses. But even then, majority of those guys, they don't get large signing bonuses. They're barely living.
I agree. Yeah, man. They need better living circumstances.
There are some crazy stories about the minor leaguers that you can find. Another thing is they'll have to get rents, and then they'll get moved up or down, and then they'll be paying double rents on top of it, and they're not making any money. Like, they get put into some brutal spots, like where dudes have like $200 to live off of every month outside of the rent. It's insane. Yeah, I need to go back home. I need to go back to my
dude. I told my brothers yesterday, ever since I downloaded Twitter to start tweeting off the account, we've been sucking. Immediately, I deleted it. So we're going to see what happens today.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, we're very superstitious on this show, especially about baseball. I think everyone is about baseball.
Yeah, that's also why we haven't praised a certain individual that has been playing a lot better in recent. I won't name him for that specific reason, but I guess you guys can guess who it is, because we normally are not very nice to that man.
Yeah, you guys got to know.
Yeah, but when that's the last thing we've said, it tends to, you know, go in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
but we won't talk about that anymore. I think the game is starting right now, though, guys. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. We'll be doing daily stuff. I don't know if you guys saw, but we're going to be doing daily podcasts and then daily episodes on YouTube as well. So if you guys prefer the podcast format, that will be going there also. But that's going to do it for today. And hopefully the Padres get this win. Hopefully we are wrong about Jake Arrieta and he comes out and balls out and the Padres win. Or maybe it's just going to be a very heavy run game. And the Padres offense, maybe we'll get going a little bit. But either way, hope the Padres win, and we'll talk to you guys very soon.